Well, all right. Open your Bibles up to Psalm chapter 23. And we've been studying about faith for finances, faith for prosperity. One of the biggest things is being completely persuaded in your own heart that God wants you to prosper and be well. We talked about it in 3 John verse 2 where it said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." We have to be convinced in our heart that God wants us to prosper. And there's just so many false, crazy teachings out there about prosperity on both sides of the fence that it's no wonder that people just get frustrated and just don't even want to mess with it, you know. But I want to start at Psalms 23, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right there should be, that's where we're going to start. I shall not want, I shall not lack anything. Literally. You're going to see from the Old Testament to the New Testament that it is God's will that his people prosper. Go to Psalm 35, verse 27. Psalm 34, verse 9. I'm sorry. Psalm 34, verse 9. "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So he's literally saying there is no lack to them that fear God. And that's not being afraid of God, but that's him that reverence God. That's a reverential fear. God does not want you to be afraid of him. He wants you to run to him like he's your own father, because he is. He wants you to run to him like a good dad. He wants you to run to him not just when you're celebrating, but run to him when you're in trouble. Too many people run away from God. You know, when they make a mistake, they run away. And then they end up isolated. And that's just not necessary. When, you know, then they go and they try to fix themselves. They go and they try to get themselves right with God. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I got to go get right with God. There's only one way you're going to get right with God. Jesus saved me. That's the only way. It's through the blood of Jesus. But too many people want to just try to hide in shame when they make a mistake and run from God instead of running to him and let him clean you up, because only the blood of Jesus can clean you. Look at verse 10 again. It said, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." All good things come from God. And here's something that you need to understand. If it comes from God, it's only good. Amen? He's 100% light. People need to understand God is not going to cause you to get sick to teach you a lesson. He's not going to cause you to be poverty stricken to teach you a lesson. He's not going to cause you to lose your job to teach you a lesson. He's not going to cause you to suffer lack, loss, or fear to teach you a lesson. He's here to bless you and protect you. Now, he did say, "as your soul prospers." That's a challenge with some people. Sometimes people get a whole bunch of money really fast, and it just wrecks them. It just ruins them because they haven't had that soul development. Let's go to Psalm 84, verse 11. This is just a little roadmap that I made for myself. And I went through it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that's how I ended up being fully persuaded that it really was God's will for me to be prosperous. Abraham had to do it. Everybody else had to do it. Why would we be any different? We got to be fully persuaded of His word. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Blessed is the man that trusts in Thee." He will not withhold any good thing to the man that walks uprightly. How do you walk uprightly? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. See, you got to be attentive when you're running around in the Old Testament to make sure that you don't ever point it toward your own personal efforts, your own personal behavior. You're believing in the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's the only thing that's going to qualify you. And it's fully qualified you. You have to understand that you've been fully qualified by the blood of Jesus to receive His blessings. We can't earn them. We can only receive them. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" Now, right there, He tells us, ask, seek, and knock. He gives us the directions. There's a teaching. I don't know how many times I've heard people tell me, said, "You should never pray for yourself. That's just being selfish." I say, "Really?" I say, "Well, how are you going to get born again?" But there's a lot of fallacies out there. Jesus told us to ask Him. He told us to ask the Father in Jesus' name. He told us how to pray. Even in the Lord's Prayer, He told us how to pray along these lines. Ask God to meet our daily needs. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence the yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." There's A couple things. He was talking to Jews here about unbelief. And these guys knew the law. They knew the word. They just didn't want to believe it. And that put them into the field of unbelief. Now, a lot of people get accused of unbelief when they're actually in doubt. See, there's a lot of people running around that really don't know the word. Really don't know the word on a certain subject. Maybe they've been told some false information about healing. Maybe they've been told some false information about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that people get told false information about. So then when you come, you start telling them, and they're kind of looking at you kind of crazy, it's because they're in doubt. Doubt can be taken care of with proper teaching. You know, you can show people the word, and they can look at it and choose one way or another how they want to deal with it. Unbelief, on the other hand, there is some people that have heard the word, they've seen the word, and they refuse to believe it. And they refuse to act on it. That's unbelief. That's a dangerous, dangerous kind of person. And there's a lot of them in a lot of different congregations. And they've made their choice. They know what the word says, and they choose not to believe it. And that's not a good place to be. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Okay, I can't hardly read that verse, them verses, without this. Some of the stuff I've encountered is just crazy. But there was these two ladies, they were saying that they'd get in airplanes, they go flying around up in the heavens, up in the sky, binding and loosing. I thought, are you nuts? But they were serious. I thought, man. And then if you get to thinking about it, what needs to be bound up in heaven? Is there any enemies in heaven? What needs to be loosed in heaven? Is any? Because it's a bad translation. Jesus is literally saying, whatever you allow on this earth has to be allowed in heaven. Whatever you disallow on this earth needs to be disallowed in heaven. And the you know, what finally drove that home for me was when Kenneth Hagin, I was listening to him preach, and he said that he had a, actually Jesus manifested himself right there in a vision or whatever it was, right in front of him, and he was starting to tell him about demons and about taking care of that stuff. And this demon got in between them and started screeching, and he couldn't hear him. And finally, he got so desperate, he said, "In the name of Jesus, go!" And the demon hit the ground and took off. And he asked Jesus, "Why didn't you do something about that demon?" And Jesus said, "I couldn't." And Kenneth said, "Oh, I know I didn't hear you right." And he said, why didn't you do something about that demon?" He said, "I couldn't." And Kenneth said, "Well, now I know I didn't hear you correctly." He said, "Why didn't you do something about that demon?" Jesus said, "I can't if you won't." Remember, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." See, Some people get this kind of comforting thought, you know, that if they're just going to be coasting through life and the devil gets in the way and Jesus is going to come smash him out of the way and everything's going to be okay. And then they get disgruntled when Jesus doesn't just come down and just take care of that demon that's in their life. He gave you authority over that demon. And he gave you authority to use his name. And he expects you to do that. People that just get trampled by the devil because they allow it to happen. And that's not necessary. You can bind him and rebuke him and tell him to get in the name of Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Well, I want to stay right there. Verse 19. He says unto you that if two of you shall agree as touching anything. That's a really misunderstood verse. You know, we always are shouting about the prayer of agreement. But one time I was in the church, and this lady came up and said, I need you to agree with me in prayer. And I said, okay, what are we agreeing? She said, I can't tell you, I just need you to agree. And I said, what? She said, you just agree with me. And I said, well, what are we praying about? I'm not going to get in on that. I don't know, she might be praying for marrying somebody else's husband. I don't know. I'm not going to agree with that. And then one time, I was in a prayer line, and the guy wanted me to agree with him. So we laid hands on this guy, and this guy prayed a knockout prayer. I mean, he knows how to pray way better than I do. And then he looked at me, and I said, I agree. And it kind of shocked him, and I said, I agree with you. I don't have to add nothing to it. See, if I don't agree with you, then I got to add my 10 cents to it. Do we agree or not? But here's the thing. In a lot of church services, I've heard people say at the beginning of praise and worship, say, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there he is in the midst of us, you know, and there's 300 of us. Have you ever thought about that? How hard would it be to get 300 people in perfect agreement? You know, Jesus had a lot of associates. He was associated with a lot of people. You know, he fed thousands at one time. And then he told 500 of them to get to the upper room. He sent 70 out two by two. He had 13 that he called, or 12 that he called apostles. He had 12 that he called apostles. But then he narrowed them down to three that he took to the rock. Listen, three that he took to the Mount of Transfiguration. But when it was at the very hardest part of his life, he narrowed it down to one. He looked down to his one and said, take care of my mom. Basically. So even Jesus knew he wasn't going to get everybody into agreement. But he could narrow it down to somebody that he could trust. That's a hard thing to do. Get that one or two people that you can really count on. Look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And there he's talking about the believing and the talking. He puts a great emphasis on matching what you say with your mouth with what you believe in your heart. What you believe in your heart, what you say with your mouth. And then he said, all things. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So there he puts a big emphasis on the believing part. And we're back to the meditation part. We're back to the part where you're going to have to look at that word. You're going to have to meditate on it. You're going to have to look at it, study it, look at it, say it. Look at it and say it till you become fully persuaded. You know, I imagine Abraham, when God changed his name, I mean, he just had to sit there and think, I'm going to call myself the father of many nations in front of all these other people. Now, we're not doing it to bend God's arm, but we do need to do it to keep our confession in line with his word. And that's what God did. He got control of his tongue so that he could get control of his heart so that he could change his destiny and actually the destiny of the whole world. It seems like every time God did something remarkable with somebody, he did something remarkable with their tongue. Look at Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. Have you ever thought about that? All things are possible to him that believeth. Sometimes, you know, we get faced with all kinds of different challenges and circumstances and sicknesses and problems. And sometimes people just say, I can't do this. But all things are possible to him that believeth. God can do mighty things through his children when he has a little bit of cooperation from them. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us. Father, we thank you for your word. You mapped it out perfectly for us. We have a clear roadmap. Every time we open the Bible, we can find the directions, we can find the answers, and we have Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us, help us to divide the word. We have our high priest, Jesus, who is always here making intercession for us and helping us to make our prayers perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.